everybody. Welcome to All Have Another. I'm your host, Lindsay, and I'm so happy that you are here with me today. This is a show where I bring on motivating and inspiring women, and we are already to episode 23. This episode is not going to disappoint you. Today I'm talking with the Wozner twins, Laurel and Rebecca Wozner, who are professional triathletes living in New York City. Rebecca is a three-time winner of the Nautica New York City Triathlon. Laurel is a cancer survivor turned professional triathlete. They talk about their journey supporting each other over the past 10 years and what training like a professional triathlete looks like living in New York City. Kind of crazy, right? Very interesting to talk to these girls. They are super sweet and you're going to love them. Before we get started talking with Laurel and Rebecca, you guys do me a huge favor and rate and review the show. So I think last time I told you, the last episode I mentioned this specifically, I had 72 reviews. I'm up to a whopping 79, which is awesome. But I know in those last 3 weeks since I mentioned that there's way more than six listeners on the show. So if you're loving the show, if you're kind of liking the show, if you've listened to three episodes, if you've listened to 22 episodes, I would love it if you would rate and review. iTunes is crazy. I don't know how it works, but I just know the ratings and reviews are helpful. So do me a solid. Long run listener, this is my most recent view. I'm training for my first full marathon, and this podcast has been my long run savior. It makes me feel like I'm out for a run with one of my girlfriends. I love the variety of topics covered and the range of guests. Lindsay has such an ease with her guests, and it truly feels like a natural, fluid conversation between friends. Thank you so much, long run listener. Whoever you are, whatever your name is, I really appreciate it. If you guys have a suggestion for anybody that you'd like to hear on the show, go to lindsayhine.com and click on the podcast tab. And if you scroll to the bottom of that page, you can fill out an easy form and suggest a guest. If you have someone that you think would be a great guest, then I will start taking the steps to book people on the show. Okay, so let's go ahead and get started talking with Laurel and Rebecca.
So, okay, well, so Rebecca and I met at the Now Foods Immersion, like, Fitfluential thing. How did you get on board with that? Have you been in Fitfluential for a while?
I've probably been in it for a few years, and I've done a couple campaigns.
Okay.
And that one just seemed really interesting to me because it wasn't just a blog post, it was actually meeting other people. And at the time, I was probably like 8 months pregnant and I hadn't been out of the house. It was the middle of winter. And I thought, well, going somewhere in June for a night by myself. Okay. I'll sign up. That sounds great. And, I was familiar with the company too. So I was interested in kind of going behind the scenes and seeing more about what it was about.
Yeah. I thought it was really interesting and I really liked everything their company, you know, stood for and the whole experience. And I don't know if you listened to my last episode, but I talked about it a little bit. And you were one of the first people I met. I was like a little bit intimidated because I felt like everybody knew each other. And I kind of felt like, I saw myself being socially awkward almost, you know, I'd never been to an experience like that.
Yeah, I kind of felt that way too. And I went for a run and then I went back to the gym and there were a couple of the women working out in there. And all I could see was muscles. Like, oh my gosh, I am so out of shape. I have so much baby weight and everybody here is so fit and into fitness and everything. And then I started talking to people and I'm like, okay, they're just normal people. I can hang.
Right. Well, I skipped the morning workout. So the day of the actual tour and everything, they scheduled like a 6 a.m. workout at the studio. And I just, you know, by the time I went to bed the night before, it was like 11 or 12. And I just thought, you know what, I'm away from my kids and we don't have to really be anywhere else till 9 a.m. Like, I'm just going to enjoy this morning. So I watched the Today Show and I edited a podcast interview and it was really nice to just be alone in my hotel. But I felt a little bit, you know, like I kind of disconnected myself from the group a little bit by not showing up.
You had a pretty good excuse, though.
I think so. So, okay, so that was June and your baby was 4 months?
Yes.
Yes, at the time. Okay, so,
yeah,
and that's your second?
Yep, and he's about to turn 6 months now.
Okay.
Yeah, wow.
I know, yeah. In a couple of days.
And then your older one is?
She's exactly 3 years older.
Okay, oh, that's a nice age gap. Now, Laurel, do you have any kids?
No.
Okay, so Can you guys kind of just explain, give us a brief intro? I don't, Rebecca or Laurel, whoever wants to go first, like, who you are, what you do, where you're from, that kind of whole deal.
Sure. Yeah, so this is Rebecca. We are, we're twins, and we are from Gaithersburg, Maryland originally, but we've lived, both of us have lived in New York City for the past 15 or so years. We moved here, I'm not in the city right now, I'm actually upstate in New Paltz, New York. But we moved to the city after, pretty much right after we graduated from college. And we're both professional triathletes now. And we train together and live together part of the year. So I guess we grew up swimming and playing all sorts of sports and then got into running. Laurel ran her first race in fifth grade, and I didn't start till seventh grade. But I was the one that ended up running in college, and Laurel swam in college. And then we kind of went our separate ways and had to overcome some things. Eventually, both turned to be professional triathletes.
Growing up, did you ever think that was going to be a thing, or had you ever even done a triathlon?
No. Well, growing up, both of us were not really cut out body type for sports, but we played every sport imaginable.
Okay.
We tried everything. And we loved basketball, even though we were very, very short and small.
Yeah, she means that we were really tiny.
Okay.
Tiny, tiny, tiny. But our dad didn't seem to care, and he coached us in basketball and softball, and those were what we really liked. But we also swam. We tried really hard, and we got to be fairly competitive, but we were pretty limited with size, and so running was the first sport that we did, or that I did. I guess Laurel was actually pretty good at the other sports that I could do, and I did it well, and I could feel confident about.
So where'd you run in school then? Where'd you go to college?
I went to Mount St. Mary's in Maryland.
Okay, and where'd you go, Laurel?
I went to George Washington University in D.C.,
So, I mean, if you're swimming and running in college, you have to be pretty good, right? I mean, did you know that in high school?
Yes, and I'll answer Rebecca, too. Yes, Beck was very good in high school in running. So we were both recruited to go to various universities and colleges, and just, you know, we had a lot of people calling us every night trying to get us to go to their school. So that,
oh, wow.
Yeah, so we were good. I wasn't like a super, super swimmer, but I was, I had potential to be better. I think a lot of coaches saw that.
Why did you decide to go swimming instead of running?
Well, I hadn't really been running as much in, through high school. I only did it for 1 year, my senior year.
She was really good, and she would beat me up until eighth grade.
In running.
She quit running. She decided she never wanted to run again.
Yeah, we went to play field hockey because all our friends were doing that, and the cool people did field hockey, and runners got made fun of. And I also wanted to play tennis, so I did that instead of running. And then when I started getting pretty good at swimming, our swim coach said you have to sort of focus on focus on one sport, and you could be really good at swimming, so you should focus, focus on swimming. So that's what I eventually decided to do, and that was in, I think, 10th grade, and I stopped doing other sports.
So no running at all at that point?
I did run in senior year of high school, cross country.
Oh, okay.
I finally did that. So, I wasn't really running that much, but what we did, anytime swim team had like a running involved, we were always pretty good at that, or I was pretty good at it.
You're always the first swimmer. Well, you say you guys were really tiny too, and that's interesting because I feel like swimmers are usually pretty I was just watching the Olympic trials, all that stuff, and I read that Missy Franklin's like 6'2", and they have these big broad shoulders. Are you generally usually like the smallest person out there when you were in college?
Yes. We were good when we were really little because everyone was kind of small. And then when everyone else got really tall, both of us sort of got good at longer distances because we would just never get tired, and we could just keep going and going. Mm. So eventually ended up doing distance freestyle.
Okay.
And yes, I was most all the time the smallest person. But Janet Evans was small, so it's just all about, like, you know, your how long you can go in that, in those sports, in the longer events.
So then you guys moved your separate ways after college. Who lived where?
Rebecca, I stayed in D.C. I got a job immediately after college, and it was in D.C. So I stayed and was working at a big accounting firm.
Okay. And then what about you, Laura?
I moved to New York.
New York City?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I lived in Brooklyn.
Did you move there for work?
Yes. I also got a job in New York. And I moved there, right after college. With a friend, and I had a lot of friends a lot of my friends moved there from GW, and our dad is from New York, so it was a kind of a natural thing, and our older sister also lived there, so I was kind of following her. Yeah.
Okay. So is there three, there's three girls?
There's actually four.
Oh, wow.
We have a younger sister.
All four girls, no boys?
Nope. That's why our dad made us do sports.
I am from a family of, there's three girls.
No boys.
I can relate. There's a lot of girls in my family on both sides, and for some reason, I keep having boys whenever I have babies.
You're evening it out.
I'm cool with that, though. I'm loving the boy thing. So Laurel, you were in New York City, and then when did you find out you were sick?
So I had been in New York for about a year, about a year. And I found out in October of, the second year I was there. So I had felt some lumps on my neck. Mm. And sort of didn't think anything of it. And then I remember I was at a gym, and I was always the only girl at any gym. And that was a long time ago. Now it's a lot more girls.
Right.
But I was lifting weights, and I saw, a bump sort of popping out of my neck, and I thought, that's weird. And then I felt it, and it was just after it didn't go away, and after it sort of started getting bigger, then I decided to go to the doctor, and immediately they found out within a couple days what it was, and it was Hodgkin's lymphoma. I got my diagnosis and then started chemo not too long after that.
I mean, how do you even process that? Were you 24?
I'm 23.
Okay.
So it was really hard because I just started this sort of new life, and I had, making new friends and doing all this stuff in New York City and trying to switch, do something different with my job and, making decisions about life, and then all of a sudden and trying to have all this fun, and all of a sudden it was just sort of all taken away from me. So at the time I was also trying to become a professional triathlete, and I had joined a running group in Central Park that met once a week or twice a week, and we did running workouts. So I was starting to get good at running again. Mm. It was my first time ever really doing running workouts, and I met some really great friends through that. And I had to go and say, I'm not going to be able to go to the runs anymore. And it was really hard. It's really, really hard.
Were you scared?
I wasn't really scared. I was just more mad that my whole life was going away. Mm. And I think that's probably a 20-something-year-old take on when that happens to you. I wasn't scared. I never really felt scared.
That's interesting. I feel like my first mechanism would be to go there. So then, Rebecca, you moved to New York to be with your sister and care for her and support, right?
Yeah. So as soon as I found out, I didn't know that she had gone through the, I think there's something on my neck. I don't know
okay.
what this is.
Okay.
She didn't really fill me in on that. I don't think she even told me she was going to the doctor for it. But when she called me and said, I have this diagnosis, I think she even said, I have cancer. I was just completely shocked. I was working, and I got the phone call, and it was an actual phone, not a cell phone. I just hung up the phone, and I told the person I was working with, I have to leave. And I went home, and I never went back to that. I called my manager, and they said, okay, go be with your sister. We'll transfer your job to New York. So within a few days, I was knocking on her door and moving into her Brooklyn apartment.
Did you expect that, Laurel, or were you kind of like, okay?
Yeah, I guess I did expect it.
Yeah.
I knew I needed her, so she came.
So then at the time, Rebecca, you weren't really training for anything, were you?
I had been training, so I was living in D.C. and I was living at home. So I was training for, I think I had picked out, no, I wasn't doing marathons yet. I was just doing some local 5Ks and 10Ks. And yeah, I was with met some training group, like an after college age training group with some fast runners in it. But I wasn't really super serious. I was kind of focused on getting started in my accounting career at that point. And I was working a lot. So I think we had mandatory 55-hour weeks or something like that.
So when you moved to New York, were you working from home for the same firm then?
No, they put me in a really competitive group because they had an opportunity or like an opening there. So I had no idea that I like got just sort of fell into this job that was pretty desirable for other people. So I just walked in. It was in the world. I had walked through the World Trade Center to get to my office the first day. And I'm like, there was just a sea of people. Like,
yeah.
What am I doing? So it was kind of a good distraction to have that because I wasn't just focused on what was happening in my real life. So I just went about my business. I did the job. I didn't really tell anybody what was happening. And Laurel was in that running group. So she sort of introduced me to other running groups. She told me about that. And I tried to just kind of have like a seamless transition. I met this new group. I just went right into it and just kept doing it. And I ended up, Laurel was supposed to, one of her friends from that running group was called her. She can tell this story. Do you want to?
Oh yeah. So one of my friends called me. I think it was like the day I got, it was the day after maybe I got my diagnosis, and said.
So I was already there because I overheard the call.
Yeah. So she called. It was at my other. We were at our older sister's house apartment, and she called and she said, "Oh, I'm going to be doing the London Marathon for team and training. Do you want to do it with me?" And I said, "Well, actually, I just got diagnosed with lymphoma, which is what that charity is, benefit." So I said, I had to tell her no, and I told Beck, and then she said, "Well, I'll do it." So she ended up running training for the London Marathon
for team and training.
Yeah, and at that point, I wasn't really thinking of doing marathons or anything. And I was like, all right, I'm going to do it.
So did you go with the friend that had originally called, Laurel?
Yep.
Yeah, so the marathon was happened to be the week after my last chemo treatment. So we ended up all going together with our friend, Anique, and I went, even though the doctors did not want me to go because I really should not have been flying.
Right.
But we went anyway. And I went to London and watched them race, and I was pretty sick still, but it was not something I was going to miss.
How were you feeling? I mean, were you super weak?
Yeah, I was weak and I was tired. I probably complained a little bit.
Rightfully so.
I just remember her on the plane, and she could barely pick her head up on the flight over there.
Really, yeah, I was suffering. But I wanted to go to the race, and I wanted to see it. And we went with our mom went, our grandmother went, and it was just something that I had to look forward to at the end of my treatments. Mm-hmm. So it was like a goal for me. It was a goal for Beck. It was a goal for me.
So did you do 6 months of chemo? Is that what you said?
Yes. So it's 6 months long.
So at that point...
Every 2 weeks.
Okay. And so at that point, were you thinking, I'm done with this part? I mean, were you waiting on further testing?
At that point, yeah. I mean, it was just a relief to have that done.
Uh-huh.
And then they tested me like the next month, and the next 3 months, and then it was every 3 months for a few years, and then it was every 6 months, and then it was every year. So they phase you out, sort of. Mm-hmm. But I was, it was a relief just to get the treatment over. I didn't even care if there was any cancer left. I was like, I'm just going to get it over with, and then we'll see. And so the hard part was going back every time to see if you still had any, So that was hard, and that lasted a few years because. Lasted 5 years, actually. So there's, you never really know until you get to the 5-year mark, and then until then where you. Yeah, that's when they say, okay, you're cancer free. You can go home. We're gonna release you.
That's a long time to live wondering constantly. I mean, how do you, in those yeah. 5 years, like, how did you mentally get through not constantly, you know, thinking about, oh, my next appointment's in 3 months, you know?
I think it only stressed me out when I actually went to the appointment. Mm-hmm. So I would get really stressed out around those days because it was like one, it was like two appointments. So it would, you have to go and get all the tests and then mm-hmm. you have to go back. And that always stressed me out because I'd have to tell my, I'd have to like leave my, you know, leave work and say, I'm going to go do this. And then I'd have to like go to this, you know, scary cancer hospital where people are fighting for their lives, and I'm at work, and then I come back to work, and people are like, well, where is all your stuff? You know, why haven't you done anything? And it's just like, whoa, you know, I just came from this like real reality. And uh-huh. so that was a struggle. That was really hard for me to balance that because I would just be like, I can't even handle this. But you know, then I, you know, that was hard. You know, a few days later, I went back to normal.
So how many years removed are you now?
I'm about 10 years, I think. 9 years.
9 years. And so do you go back just for a yearly checkup, like just a general yearly checkup now?
No, I don't have to do anything back at the hospital anymore. After that, I think it was 6 years, I did not have to go back. But they tell you that you have to get a chest x-ray after every year and, you know, keep up. Get blood work and stuff, but I don't have to be, I just have to be, you know, vigilant.
During this time, during your treatment, Rebecca starts training for marathons, well, the London Marathon. And at that point, were you thinking, because I watched the Livestrong video and you were kind of saying, like, you were kind of just pouring everything into your training while she was going through that. At that point, were you like, you know, did you even have your sights set on becoming a professional triathlete?
So, yeah, at the time, I was just training for the marathons and for running, and I was focused on that because I was so far removed from swimming. I didn't swim in college. I just ran, and when I finished running in college, I felt like I had a lot more potential in running, and especially with trying to do half marathons and more 10Ks and longer distances, because I did a lot of 3Ks and 5Ks in college. So that was a big jump up to do that marathon, but it was I loved doing the training, and I loved the experience of running more than I had done before.
And that was your first marathon.
Yeah, that was my first marathon. And as in the process of that, I think it was probably during my training, I had gotten invited by Mary Wittenberg from the Roadrunners Club. She wasn't mm-hmm. the president at the time. I think she just was working there or something, or I knew her from running. But anyway, she invited me to test for this running group called the FILA Discovery USA. And there was something also called FILA Discovery Kenya. But they were starting an elite-level training group in the U.S. And they wanted somebody kind of from New York or from involved with the Roadrunners Club, and I was, to join the group. So they invited a couple of the fast local runners and to try this, to go to Lenox Hill Hospital and do to an exercise physiology lab and do some testing. So I did it with another woman, and I got picked to join this group. That meant leaving New York and going to train at altitude in Mount Laguna, California, and then for 6 months. So that was after the marathon. I kind of got that opportunity to try out elite level athletics, professional athletics. So I did that, and I left Laurel behind. I didn't really tell anybody again what was going through. I kept a picture of her on my little, very rustic accommodations at Mount Laguna, California, on the top of a mountain. And I did it, and I did ended up doing the New York. Our training group was training for the New York City marathon. Mm-hmm. And I did it. I got my best time, but I didn't have a great race, and I kind of got injured during the race. Like, it was a little bit before I started feeling my heels hurting, and I didn't really know what it was, and I just kind of ran through it. And then afterwards, I had really bad plantar fasciitis for a long time. So that was my first time I really felt like, oh my God, I can't run anymore. What am I going to do? And I started revisiting cross training and the idea of that. So that's when I thought, okay, well, marathoning was great. I love it. I love running, but now that I can't really do it that much, but maybe I should go back to trying triathlons. And at that point, I had triathlon was getting a little more popular, and I was reading about, like, there were more races, and some people I knew were doing it, and that's when I got into it.
So what did you run the New York City Marathon in?
2:55.
Okay.
And it was not my goal time. I almost stopped, but it turned out that I'm glad I finished it and got a 2:55 because that was my best time, and I haven't done any marathons since. So if I hadn't known, I wanted to stop so badly on First Avenue.
Yeah, and I was there. She was trying to get like a 2:40 or something, and I was waiting and waiting and waiting, and finally she appeared. I'm going to stop. And I was like, no, you can't stop. You're almost done.
Yeah, I don't know what, like, what went wrong. They were so well trained, and I was running 100 and something miles a week, and it just, everything was going well, and I just got to the halfway point, and I got there at 1:22, and I thought, okay, that's good. And then as soon as I got to like 13.5 miles, I just started feeling terrible. Like, everything started falling apart. I just had no reason for it. I think the hill started, the bridges, maybe that's what it was. But I had done a lot of hill running, and it just wasn't my day.
Yeah, I mean, that just happens. Yeah.
Yeah. And it just, the times, just, I had to stop looking at my watch.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was just one of those. So.
What had you ran London in?
I did that in 2:59.
Oh,
that
was so you my had first. Already broke three. Oh, broke three, right under three on your first marathon.
Yeah, I know. And I didn't realize it was a big deal at the time. I just, I didn't know enough about marathon running that breaking three was, I just okay, I did it. Yeah, just kind of on a whim, I did it. I didn't do any serious training runs for that. I was in good enough shape from doing the shorter stuff that I was able to get, do that.
So, okay, you started doing triathlon training once, you got the plantar fasciitis and your body was kind of telling you maybe running all these miles isn't, what I want you to do.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I went ahead and went to the local bike shop and bought a bike, just the cheapest triathlon bike you could buy, and they gave me a deal. And that was it. And I started riding it, and I found a swim team, joined the team, and I realized I could pretty quickly that I still knew how to swim, and I got back to swimming really quickly. It came back. So that was good. And so I had the swimming, that meant I had the swimming and the running down, and I just needed to figure out how to ride the bike. And it took a couple years.
Yeah, the bike's hard. It's and you spend so much time on the bike.
You do. And I just couldn't get down the effort level on the bike. Mm-hmm. I just couldn't get myself to go hard enough. I don't know why. It was running, you just feel like you're going hard the whole time. Biking was just, I felt like I was going easy the whole time. And then I mm-hmm. finally had to just go out there and force myself to go hard and realize you can recover from that. Eventually it clicked, but it took a while. Some people can pick it up so easily.
I told you at the conference that we did that I did a half Ironman, and I did that when I was coming off of my marathon PR, and I was kind of just burnt out from running, and I just wanted to do something different. But, and I've only done one, so it was never a way of life for me or anything, and I never figured that out, the biking thing. But I completely understand what you're saying, because I just felt okay, I can ride hard on this bike for 10 minutes and that's it. And
yeah.
I just couldn't do a sustained, long, hard effort because I couldn't wrap my mind around, I'm riding my bike for 3 hours. How do I work hard like that for 3 hours? And it was just totally different than running. That being said, though, I'm so glad that I went through that experience, because I really think I was in the best shape of my life when I trained for that half Ironman. And I think if I had ran a marathon, even right around that time, I probably would have ran my fastest marathon, just because my body liked me so much more.
I'm sure. Yeah,
you
probably
just
so much
fit.
Yeah.
And almost fresh in a way, because
yes.
your legs aren't as beat up from all that training, all those miles.
Only running 3 or 4 days a week, And
yeah.
My core had never been so strong because I had never swam before. I mean, I got in a pool and I had never swam more than 3 laps,
Wow.
So,
and then you did a half Ironman?
Well, yeah, I know.
I find that so amazing that people can do that.
Well, with the
we just go there for the first race.
So I did. I signed up for the half Ironman, and I did a sprint triathlon like 2 months before, like as a my husband's done a full Ironman, and he and that was kind of like what inspired me to do it. And he kind of his first triathlon he ever did, he had a complete freak out in the water, the open water, and so I told myself I have to get in the open water at a race before I go do this half Ironman. And I went into that swim knowing a lot of people have this freak out. I've never swam open water before, and I you know, really calmed my mind going into it. But yeah, the swimming, like, do the swim, go as slow as you need to go, just control your breathing, control yourself, get out of the water, and you can, you know, I know you can do the rest. So yeah, I was 68th out of 80 or something in my age group out of the water. But that's the
probably
fun thing
half
about,
a million people.
Yeah, that's the fun thing about being a runner in triathlon. You just can pass everybody at the end.
Yeah.
So, okay, enough about me. Laurel, so you started training then. Like, how long did it take you after you were, you know, recovered from chemo to really start training and realizing? Because you were already going to start training to be a professional triathlete, right?
Yes. Well, I started, I guess it took me about... I mean, I started to try to do some running while I was sick and try to, you know, it was really hard for me. So I would, the first thing I got myself back to trying to do was just to get to run to like 40 minutes. I wasn't even thinking really about the triathlon yet, but I knew I just wanted to be able to run again. And it was really hard. I would go out in the morning and try to get, there was this one bench that was 12 minutes away from our apartment, and I would try to get to the bench and turn around. And then I would try to, like, go to the end of the bench and turn around. Then, like, go to the second bench and turn around. So it was really hard because I had just no, like, endurance. I guess probably had no, you know, muscles really left or anything. So it was just a challenge. But then I decided, it was about 5 years after maybe I finished my treatments, Becca had gotten into triathlon and she was good. And, she's starting to go to bigger races with the top athletes in the world. And I went to a couple of them and I thought, oh, I know I can swim faster than that person. And I know I can run faster and maybe I should do one of these things. So, I watched her in the 2006 World Championships for triathlon, and that was in Switzerland. We went, it was a big deal for her to make that team, and I went to watch with my younger sister and my mom, and I had the same thought when I was there. I thought, well, I can do this. If she's doing this, I can do this. And she had a bad swim and got, like, pushed bad
underwater.
Bad swim as I almost got drowned.
Oh.
Yeah, like, it's really, really rough. Like, those...
The
ITU triathlons are really, really, they're just cutthroat in the water, like literally. Mm-hmm. And
what's the distance of that? What was the distance?
Olympic distance.
Okay.
So it's a 1500 meter swim.
Okay.
And they go off in this beautiful lake and everything's fine. And all of a sudden she's drowning.
Oh.
And I just thought, okay, I need to be there for her and I could be there with her and she wouldn't drown. And, you know, we could both be doing this together because, you know, I knew that I was just as good, but I just needed to go.
But what happened was there were about 60 women lined up, and the gun went off, and I'm swimming great, and I looked around, and I saw a couple people over to my right swimming a little bit faster. So I thought I have to be with those people. So I started going, making my way over that way, and all the people that were next to me to my right swimming in a line, I didn't see that there were a whole bunch of people there, just swam right on top of me. And there were I got pushed under and there were just bodies everywhere on top. It felt like I had capsized in a boat and I was feeling my way out or something. And eventually I popped back up, but everybody was swam like I was way behind. So I had to catch back up and do my best, but yeah. That was pretty scary.
Yeah. I mean, at that time, were you scared? Like, I could drown right now?
Yeah, for a split second when I felt it was a feeling of, okay, I need to come up for air, but there are people on top of me, and I feel people, and I'm feeling another person, and
how do I get out of
another person? yeah.
That is.
I'm sure it all happened really fast, but it just seemed like it was never going to end.
Well, I always wonder with the officials, you know, the people on the boat and stuff that are kind of like, you know, watching to make sure nobody does drown. I'm like, how do they really keep track of all these heads?
I don't know. And these are, they're supposed to be, this wave of people is the top people in the world.
Right.
So they probably don't even
think that you're going to, that drowning is an issue.
Why was that? Why would that happen? So I would never do that again.
That race in that water, you mean?
No, I just swim straight. I just try to swim where I'm going and not be focused on, like, somebody I see out of the corner of my eye that's way over onto the side.
Gotcha. That's terrifying.
So that inspired me to pick a race and do it and try to do a triathlon and get to that level. And it just happened that the next year, Beck got an injury and wasn't able to race for the whole year. And so that's when she was able to take some time to help me get back in shape and train me and help get me eating the right things, because I wasn't eating good. I wasn't eating very healthily. I was eating French fries and not for dinner.
You're like, and, I just survived cancer. I'm going to eat whatever the hell I want to eat.
So I was eating bad stuff. Yeah. I wasn't like overweight or anything. I was just not a healthy person, you know, not healthy.
Yeah.
And I didn't know how to eat like a healthy diet. So she would make my lunch for me every day for work and give me a workout for afterwards and a workout before. And I got pretty good. That was, so I did a year as an amateur. And then I was winning all the swims and all the run. I was having the fastest runs, but I still was not great on the bike. Mm. But I figured that with a little more time, I could get there. And I was running faster than most of the pros that were in my sister's races, so except for her. And I figured I can do this. So the next year, 2008, I decided to become a pro.
So what does that look like? How are you like, I'm going to be a pro? Do you have to try out, or what is that?
Well, what you do, for the process then was you had to, a long application, but you have to have finishes in certain races. Mm-hmm. And there had to be some different criteria for the different races, but you had to have three pretty good results and in these certain races. And so I was able, and then they also wanted you to have certain times in running and swimming, and I checked all the boxes.
So it sounds like with both of you though that biking has always been the weak spot, and you have to work on that the most.
Well, just because a lot of the race, you know, we're smaller, mm-hmm. And a lot of the races are flat, and mm-hmm. if there's a hilly bike course, that's not the case. Mm-hmm. So it's just a matter of you know, some of the technical stuff for biking definitely was something we had to learn. But then as far as just putting out the power that some other people can, that's where, you know, it was difficult for us. But then, you know, anytime there's a hill, that's a different story.
You just pass people, don't you?
Yes. Especially Beck.
I'm only carrying 100 pounds here.
So, yeah, like she crushed me today on our, she's, probably, you know, she's extra weight right now, and she's still beating me, so.
I want to know about that. So, you guys always do your training together?
We do a lot of training. As much as we can. I've done, since I started doing this several years before Laurel, I've gone through a lot of different training partners, and some of them have retired, or some of them are doing different things, and so I understand the benefit of having somebody that is going to challenge you to train with every day, and so I try to convince Laurel to trade with me as much as possible because of that.
So, okay, Rebecca, you have two kids.
Yes.
And you train. And then you guys have a blog, Athlete Food. Is that your blog together, or is that mostly Rebecca?
It's together. Okay. And also we have another friend that we do it with.
Okay. So does that serve as like your part-time job, or is that a full-time thing?
It's a hobby.
Okay.
Right now.
Gotcha.
Yeah. We do it with, we started it with a good friend of ours who is a food writer, and she lived in San Francisco. Now she lives in Nashville.
Okay.
And she used to live in New York. So we were all good, close friends. And then we kind of moved our separate ways. And this is a way for us to really just kind of keep, connected. Mm-hmm. And cause we email back and forth all the time now, and we hadn't spoken in very often in years before we started the blog. So it's really been great just to kind of keep our friendship going. And we've gotten to do some really cool things because of it. And yeah, so it's more just for fun right now, and hopefully we'll get some kind of cookbook out of it. We've been working on that for a while. So that would be an end goal. We're doing a really fun thing this summer with Athlete Food. We're going to Blackberry Farms and hosting a weekend of training and eating and it's going to end up with the Great Smoky Mountains Half Marathon. So we're looking forward to that. We're going to run that probably just for kind of for fun pace. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it'll be good. It's going to be fun. So we're doing things like that, and we have a couple other little events planned. But yeah, we make up she didn't mention this yet, but she has a photography background.
Okay.
So she does most of the pictures and the editing and all that. That's her thing. And then our friend Melissa is the writer. So she kind of, if we come up with an idea, she develops the recipes. And then we test them together, and it just works well that way because each person has their thing.
So you're in New York City. You guys, but you say you're there part-time. So fill me in on how all that works.
Oh, okay. So, well, I have a house upstate in New Paltz, New York, which is about 2 hours outside of the city driving.
Okay.
So we do a lot of training up here. We can come up here anytime we want. So mostly on the weekends, but sometimes, like right now, I'm going to be here for 2 weeks straight.
Okay.
Because it's summer and Amy doesn't have to go to school, but I try to make the most of it. It's really beautiful up here. And there's great running trails are amazing. And the biking is really good. Swimming is good. So it's a kind of a perfect place to train. So we do that as we come up here all year round also, not just in the summer.
But your family, like you, your daughter, you said Amy doesn't go to school. She goes to school in New York City then?
Yes, she does. Yep.
Okay.
She's three, but we're still cut. So we have to hold to her school schedule, and she was doing afternoon school. So it was cutting into our weekends a little bit, but, so she's out of school now and not in a camp right now. So there's time to get away and enjoy the country for a while.
So when you're in New York City, is it your husband, your two kids, and your sister? Are you guys all together in this? Is it an apartment?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. And then you guys can go train on the weekends at your house in upstate New York.
Yeah. And then we train in the city together as well.
I was just thinking, is it hard to train for triathlon in the city, you know?
People ask us that all the time. And at first it was, but now I think we've figured out the best places to do each of the sports and have a routine down. And just the other day I was realizing what's made it not so hard is that there's just an energy in the city that you're just surrounded by people that have come there to be the best at whatever they do. And it just it's sort of infectious and it catches on, and you go to the pool and we're swimming in our master's group with people that are, they're really successful in their jobs. And they're not pro triathletes. They're swimmers from probably like Salmon College or something. They want to be the best when they get into the pool. We just push each other. And I feel like if I live somewhere else, I wouldn't be able to walk out my door and just kind of be motivated just by being there. So that's really what's made me be able to stay in New York and train this long without feeling like, oh, I have to go permanently live in New Paltz or move to Boulder or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Now, does your husband work in the city then?
He does, and that's why we live there.
Okay.
Because he does not want to commute.
No, 2 hours?
For an hour or 2 hours. It would be 2 hours a day.
Yeah.
So he really wants, he likes the idea of walking to work.
I would too. Okay, now that all
makes
sense.
That's where we are.
Okay, that all makes sense. I just think that's so cool that you guys are living in the city and doing this professional triathlete thing. Like you said, I feel like a lot of people are in Boulder, these, you know, cities like that.
Yes. The hardest part of training in the city is not being distracted There's so many things that we have to say, okay, no, not going to do that. Because I just think back to the times I've been at training camps and all you do is train. Mm-hmm. And the thought of even going to the grocery store is I have to get, that's going to affect my next workout. I can't feel my feet. So in New York, I could just be like, oh yeah, sure, I'll go out to dinner tonight. And then the next day, I'm like, why did I do that? I have to run 10 miles.
Yeah, like, oh no.
So,
is there ever a noise issue? Because, like, you probably want to go to bed early and sleep a lot. And is it loud?
It can be. But where we are is not a loud street. So we're lucky with that.
Oh, nice. Very nice. So
yeah. On the weekends, yes. But we try not to be there on the weekends. So.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. So when I met you in June, you said your goal was to do an Ironman by the end of the year. You're 6 months postpartum now. What's all that looking like?
It's been really hard. That's still the goal. I should start with that. But it's been a little bit harder this time around to get back in shape. And I think it's because I had to take more time off while I was pregnant. I wasn't able to do anything after about 4 months.
Oh, wow.
So really kind of no exercise.
You were on bed rest? And were you on bed rest?
I wasn't on bed rest, but I just was on a no exercise, limited activity.
What was the reason for that?
I had a placenta previa complete.
Okay.
I didn't have any symptoms, and I didn't want to have any symptoms.
Mm-hmm.
So they noticed now the ultrasound probably at like just after 20 weeks, I think. And it didn't move. They were like, all right, it's going to move. And like still not moving. So you still don't do anything. Mm-hmm. It's pretty bad. It's very dangerous for the mother and the child if something goes wrong. And it just didn't seem worth it to me to even attempt. So I didn't want to be on bed rest in the hospital, which would have been getting blood transfusions, which could have happened. So I just said, you know what, this is the time to put my feet up and really do nothing. And I got really big from the beginning, the second time. And people were like, it's because you're having a boy. You're just big. Like, you need to. Like, okay, if that's what happens. As a result of getting bigger and not exercising, I have a lot more catching up to do as far as getting back to my normal size and fitness level. But it's coming along, and I'm trying to just take it really steady pace and not do too much too soon and injure myself. So I've had lots of aches and pains. I think it's just the nature of it, of us having a C-section and trying to run again after that. It's there. The scar is there, and it causes things that you can't really control.
Yeah.
But I'm working through it, and I feel pretty good now, and I just did my first race days ago. So I did an Olympic distance, kind of just jumped into it. Mm-hmm. I know I'm not like fit or anything, but I did it, and it felt really good. I yelled at Laura, like, I'm like, I'm feeling amazing during the run, even though I wasn't running fast.
And
Laura was winning, and I was getting...
I just thought she was... I was so worried that something was going to... Because really, it was very hot and humid, and she doesn't like that. She doesn't tend to do well in those conditions. And I saw her running, and I heard her say that I'm feeling amazing, but then I kept running. I thought, she would never say that. Maybe she said, I'm not feeling amazing. So I thought about that, and then I finished, and I ran back immediately, and I ran back to see if she was doing okay, and she was fine. So she was running well. She was catching up to somebody, so that was really cool to see.
So when you guys are competing, like when you're back in your like peak shape and Laurel, you're competing, are you guys about the same? I mean, when you're out on a race together, are you competing against each other?
Yeah, we are. We've never had one of those races where we're next to each other the whole race. But like, for example, in our last race, we swam together, and then I've been riding a lot more and better, obviously, you know, a different stage in fitness as Beck is right now. So we started the bike together, but then we didn't see each other for the rest of the race. But I think when Beck gets more fit, we'd probably end up riding somewhere together, and then eventually we are pretty evenly matched, so it could come down to the run.
Is that so weird, though? Because, you know, like any other competitor, you want to win no matter what, but like, is that weird because you want to be happy for your sister when you're out there?
Yeah, I was in our last race. Our younger sister also raced.
Okay.
The only thought I had was, I hope they both beat me.
Aww.
Because I knew, you know, I don't even. I know I wanted to win too, but it was just like I was secretly hoping they would beat me. And I think that's just how sisters sort of think about these things.
Or if anybody beats you, you want it to be one of them.
Yes. Yeah. And just knowing that I always want Beck to do well, because I know that how hard she works and now what she's capable of. And I don't care if she beats me, but in practice, it's a little different. In practice, we're kind of more cutthroat about our competition.
Gotcha.
But on race day, it's kind of like whoever, one of us just has to do well.
Yeah. Somebody's going to always feel better than the other on a given day.
Yeah, exactly.
So is your younger sister's competitive too?
She is. She's not a professional, but she's done, this year has started becoming a little more serious with triathlon. And she's a very good runner.
Okay. Oh my gosh, and that'd so be hilarious if she joins your club.
Yeah. Well, she has three kids, and she's, I don't know that she's...
She does a lot. She's kind of a super mom. She's always doing things, much more than... I don't know where she gets the energy, but so she does all that, and then she works, and...
She
works from home, so that
lot.
Helps. But yes, she juggles, but she manages to get out there and do it. So she's, I know. We're like, come on, be a professional. She's like, no way. But,
so when's the Ironman that you're targeting?
It'll be the beginning of December.
Okay, and will you do it too, Laura?
I haven't made my schedule that far out in advance yet. But maybe.
Are you guys coached by someone, the same person maybe?
I've been coaching Laurel, and I have a separate coach.
Okay, gotcha. And then are you coaching
your
younger
sister? We were
coached
by the same, I'm consulting with her.
Okay.
she does, because it's better for her, the way she operates is better if she goes to a group session.
Uh-huh.
So she can say, okay, I'm going to be at the track at 5 a.m. tomorrow with this group, and then she has some great women that she trains with, so... she can do that, set the time, and get her workouts done that way instead of giving her a big schedule full of things to do, and then she's got to try to, plug it in and figure out where she's going to do each thing and then feel bad about missing something. And so it works out better if she says, okay, well, what do you think I should do for this workout or that, but not giving her, a strict day-to-day,
mm-hmm.
Like a lot of internet kind of coaching that works.
Yeah, yeah. But. So, long term, where do you guys see this going long term? What are your individual goals?
I guess for now, I'm thinking long term for me is this year, because I'm focused on getting back into shape after the second baby and doing that Ironman.
Yeah.
Because I haven't done one yet, and Laurel's done 5 now.
Oh,
I think.
Haven't done a full yet.
I haven't.
Okay.
So I want to get to that, finally progress to that level.
Okay.
And do it and be really strong.
Okay.
So if that doesn't happen this year, if I have a feeling I'll do it and then I'll want to do another one.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm thinking just do it and get it over with and then you go back to shorter races. But yeah, so that's kind of as far out as I've thought about for long term with triathlon.
Do you think that's where your potential lies, though, in the longer distance?
I'm not sure, actually.
Well, you haven't done it yet,
I haven't done it. I've done some half Ironmans and done some of them were great and other ones weren't. I don't know if it was the training or the heat or different factors, but it seems to be Laurel's potential. That's where her potential is. And so I think, maybe it would be mine, too. So I've got to try.
So far, though, most of your racing has been with the Olympic distance.
Yeah, that's what I did for the first several years of my triathlon career. And then I decided to try to bump it up to the half, and then having two kids kind of got in the way of that.
Right. So, those kids, man, they're always messing things up.
Yeah.
So, okay. And Laurel, what about you?
Yeah, so since I didn't have a kid break, I was able to get into doing Ironmans last year, actually 2 years ago, and I felt like I had some success with that distance. So I've done 5 now, and I haven't gotten to the point where I think I'm happy with any of them.
Okay.
So my goals are I just really want to have a great Ironman race, and that's such a hard thing to do because it's all day long, and there are a million things that can go wrong all day, but there's also a million things you can, you could also come back from all those different things and have a great day at the end. So I competed in the World Championships in Kona last year, and I did not have a good day. I thought I would do a lot better. And So I was really focused on getting a top 10 there, and just nothing went right. And it was just a disappointing, it was really disappointing. So I came into this year with the hopes of trying to get back there and do better. And I haven't had things go right this year yet. So it's very hard to qualify for it. And so this year, I think it's too late for me to get in. So I'm going to focus on another Ironman, potentially the one that Beck's going to do, or maybe one before that. And so that's what I'm thinking this year. And then next year, try to get back to Kona.
So yeah, when you qualified for Kona, what race did you qualify at?
Well, for the professionals have to qualify. They have a point system. So
okay.
I ended up having to do Ironman Chattanooga. I got fourth.
Okay.
And then I did, I got fifth place in Ironman Brazil.
Okay.
Which was a championship race, which gave me a lot of points. But then I had to do Ironman Canada. I had to do three Ironmans in order to qualify for Kona, which was the fourth Ironman I did in a year.
Oh, my gosh.
And in addition to several half Ironmans.
Oh, wow.
So, and flying all over the world. So it was a big financial commitment, as well as a lot of stress on my body. And I somehow was able to do it. But it's not something I would recommend. But for women, it's really difficult to get into that race. So unless, you know, I could have had great luck in Canada and I wouldn't, you know, there's the luck, you have to have the luck as well. And that some of the things didn't go right. So, I didn't get in there. I got in, but this year I'm not going to get in. So
is that different qualifying as a professional than like us regular folks who?
Yes. So
okay.
the age group or the amateur qualifying system is different, and you would go to a certain race and get a certain position, like first, maybe it's first two, first three, maybe it's just the first in your age group.
Mm-hmm.
So you would only have to do one Ironman, or some of the races, I think you can do a half Ironman and make it. So it's hard. Yeah, it's difficult because the game is that if you do well at Kona the year before, you get a lot of points, and that maybe you only have to do one the next year.
Okay.
But since I was 25th, I didn't get the points really drop off, so I really didn't get a bump up there at all.
And they also allow 50 men to get in, but only 35 women.
Why?
Yeah.
That's the question.
That's not fair.
That's a great big question, yeah.
So they allow 35 professional women are allowed in.
Yes.
And then 50 professional men.
Yes.
And then what's the number of amateurs?
I'm actually not sure.
I don't know the number.
Yeah. But more males. That's so weird. That's not fair.
Yeah. It isn't fair. So it's really not fair because of sponsors look to that as, you know, how they evaluate your sort of worth. Like, did you go to Kona? Yes. Okay, great. We want to sign you. But when you're like the 40th place guy, yes, he's getting that kind of, you know, recognition, where I might be 40th this year and I won't get to go.
Yeah.
And not that I'm shooting to be 40th place at all,
right.
But I, I just think it should be equal.
It should be.
I just think it should be equal. And I actually like that it's difficult to get in because it's a world championship.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, but I just want it to be fair for both men and women.
I never knew that there was such a different process with the professionals, because I know a couple people that have gone as amateurs, but I had no idea that that's how it was. That's crazy.
Yeah, it is. And also it's not like it's a federation, like in making the world championships for, you know, the Olympic distance kind of racing, you take the top five people from your country, and here it could be, you know, there could be 10 people from one country and two people from another. It's not like a true world championships in that sense. So it's completely different and somewhat arbitrary.
I thought it was kind of crazy because one of the guys I knew that went, like, I swear he qualified like 2 months before Kona, and then I'm like, he's got to go race it again? I didn't realize you could qualify so soon before the race.
You can, and a lot of times if you're you qualify as an age grouper, you can do it the next year.
Oh, so, that's what I would want to do.
Yeah.
I want a break.
But I had to do, well, I had to do an Ironman in August, and then I had to go to Indonesia and do a half Ironman.
Oh, my goodness.
A couple weeks later, and then I got into Kona at the end of, and that was in September already, and Kona was in October.
Oh, my gosh, that's insane. What year was that?
That was last year.
Oh, last year.
Yeah.
Do you guys have any good advice that you would give anybody who's, like, on the brink of, you know, maybe professional triathlete or, you know, even just running or any sports? Like, what would you tell them?
So I think you just have to believe in yourself the most, because there'll be other people out there that'll support you. But I think you just have to say, I want to do this and do it. And don't let anything get in your way, because that's the way that Laurel did it, got into it. There were people that said, you can't do that, you're too small. Your boss told her that when she wanted to quit her job and become a professional triathlete. And then I had somebody sort of like laugh in my face when I told them I wanted to do that. And I just thought, you know what, this is what I decided to do. I'm going to do it. I'm going to make the sacrifices, put the hard work in, and let it happen.
It almost pushes you even more when someone does that. You're like, oh, really?
It does.
I'm going to show you.
Yep, it does. And I keep thinking, I always think back on that. I'm like, remember when? Okay, now I could just, like, even now I'm like, I don't know if I can run, if I'm ever going to break 40 in a 10K ever again. But then I just think back to that and I'm like, yeah, you can do it. Just, it's going to happen.
My first marathon, I was like, when I was training for it, I originally was like, I'm going to break 4 hours. Like, that's a good goal for a first marathon. I just kind of put that number in my head. And then I had done like a half marathon a few weeks before that indicated I could run much faster. And I was like, maybe I'll try to qualify for Boston. And I said that to a lady I worked with who was pretty athletic, but not necessarily a runner. And she was like, yeah, right. Good luck. And then I did qualify and I was like, see? And I think that when I was running the race, I kind of like had that tucked away in my head. Like, she kind of told me, yeah, right, you're not going to do that, you know?
Yeah, it's totally fires you up.
I get it. Okay, so this has been fun, but we have to end with some fun stuff. Is there any good books you guys have read recently?
So I've read some children's books.
Good Night Moon.
No, yeah. I don't know. I haven't read that one lately. I know. I feel like I've had no time to read, but I read Laura and Jenna Bush's book. It's very cute.
What is it called?
It's called something national. It's about the national parks and this little story of this girl who goes on a little vacation through the different national parks. It's just came out.
It's cute.
I don't know what it's called, but Laura's more of a reader. Have you read anything lately?
Yeah. Well, I have a stack of books now because we were up in New Paltz on this training camp, and our mom and dad came with us to watch the kids while we train.
Oh, nice.
And they are big library goers, so every time we go to their house, they have just stacks of brand new library books. They get the ones that like have never even been touched, and so I got this new FDR biography that's very long. My dad tried to say, oh, you're never going to finish it, but that's another thing. I'm going to try to finish it by the next 2 weeks.
Yeah,
And a George Jones biography, which is the singer who just died.
Yeah.
And Barbara Streisand. So those are my three that I'm reading right now, and I just started. So we'll see what I can get through.
I know if I put my smartphone down, I would get through a lot more books. Right?
Exactly. I know. I read, I end up reading stuff on the internet instead of my phone these days, instead of a real book.
Right.
So, I also, because I don't have a light next to my bed.
No, it's all about light.
Yeah.
And so, that's why I do the Kindle, but I do kind of want to go back to real books.
The library, yeah, the getting the library books was really, I was excited because you get to pick it up and you're like, oh, pictures. And
Yeah. Do you guys make time for any good or bad TV?
I am totally into Bloodline on Netflix.
Okay, so I started that with my husband. I don't know that we made it through the first season, but we liked it. I don't remember why we quit. So what season is it on?
I'm into season two.
Okay.
I just finished season one last week. But okay. I did start it a few months ago. One of my favorite actors is in it, and that's why I got into it. Our older sister knows one of the actors, so we were very into it. And then I just kind of, I started watching it. I didn't get sucked into it right away.
Okay.
And then I watch TV while I'm on the trainer.
Mm-hmm.
So I need something that's like really gripping, and once, you know, I need that the binge effect.
Right.
And I got into it, and it just went like that. There's like 13 episodes, and I just watched them all in like 3 days.
The first season.
Yeah.
Isn't the brother, like the good brother, isn't he the coach from Friday Night Lights?
Yes.
Okay.
It took me a while to figure that out. I was like, who is that? Who is that? And I'm like, oh, yeah. So he's really a good actor, and the Sissy Spacek is in it, and it's a good cast.
I think I want to go back to it. I don't
recommend
think
it.
Finished the first season, but yeah, it's super dramatic. Yeah, all the sibling issues and
it's a little bit hard. It's dark, and yeah, you know, it's a little stressful to watch.